You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I have a few guests here with me today. They are from Godspell. Could you go around and introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, I am Leslie Leyland Fields.
And my name is Caleb Sharp.
And this is Wes Hanna.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And what is your position in this production?
Well, my character's name is Robin. And actually, I think our names are after the first cast members. It was the original cast members back in like 1972.
Okay.
When the Broadway, the first version, every one of the disciples, they just sort of took on the name of whoever played them. So anyway, that's me. I'm Robin. I'm one of the followers of Jesus and, I have a special relationship with Jesus, and I get to sing Day by Day, so that's kind of, that's my favorite song.
And I get to play Jesus. I have the extraordinary privilege of doing that, and it's been a challenging role, but I've really enjoyed it.
Don't you just wake up every morning and think, oh, gee, oh, sure, oh, yeah, I should play Jesus.
No. I wake up every morning thinking I probably shouldn't play.
That's probably more appropriate. Maybe that's what qualifies someone than to play the part, that you really can't. It's hard.
Yeah. It's been really interesting to develop the character over time and kind of experience him. It's been nice. I like it.
Yeah. Before we talk more about the characters, can you just explain a little bit about the plot and the musical itself? Because I was talking with my supervisor, Jay Barrett, and you may be familiar with him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the different musicals that popped up in the 70s. There were several about Jesus, and I had not been familiar with Godspell. I'd known about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right.
So could you explain a little bit about this plot?
Well, I believe Wes, do you know Godspell was first, wasn't it? I think Jesus Christ Superstar came next.
I don't know that history.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think that's right. And it's the early 70s. And Stephen Schwartz wrote Godspell. He was obviously a young man then. He must have been, I don't know if he was maybe in his 20s then. He also went on to write Pippin and then Wicked. So he's a huge force on Broadway. Very, very well known, amazing musician and playwright. So in the early 70s, I think that was sort of, it was the hippie era. It was the time of the Jesus movement. And so Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar both came out of that, came out of the Jesus movement. And both of them tell the story of the life of Christ. And they, they have different perspectives, and there's a different tone, between the two musicals, but both were huge Broadway hits. And they're also part of that whole new wave of, the rock musical. Hair came a little bit later, and so there's a whole new genre, and it was really exciting because it really invited young people into musicals. I think musical theater before that was more for the middle age or for the more established, sort of more stodgy, and here's this exciting new form of music, new form of musical. So it's been great, and I think it's amazing that Godspell is like more than 40 years old, and it's been playing off Broadway for 40 years in many, many venues. And there was a huge sort of revamp in 2012 back on Broadway, and Stephen Schwartz rewrote a lot of the songs, made them better, and that's what we're singing, are the rewritten songs. They're so beautiful.
You said that there was a difference in perspective and kind of tone between Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell. How would you describe the tone and perspective from Godspell?
I think Jesus Christ Superstar was a little more kind of scandalous, at the time, and And Godspell is really a lot of what we're performing is comes right from the Gospel of Matthew. So it's, I would say it's less controversial. I mean, it's not controversial. We are enacting and singing and dancing and, you know, performing these amazing parables.
Having a lot of fun at the same time.
Absolutely.
Just having a blast.
I think
the actors are having a blast. I think the crowd is having a blast at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's really entertaining. And I think that's what Jesus intended when he told the parables. He was telling stories that people had never heard before. Like he was telling them things that they were hearing for the first time. It was like, wow. And so we try to recreate that. You know, as the choreography that Lissa has done with us is just incredible. And so that's what people are saying as we're doing these parables, like, wow, I've never heard them that way before or seen them that way before.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, some of the stories that, you know, you learn as children to be dramatized and by people who really are having a lot, really good time up on stage, you know. It's not just the audience who are having a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
And I, as far as the plot line goes, I've really enjoyed just the contrasting acts. Mm-hmm. Act one is very down to earth and just having a great time telling stories and
upbeat and fast,
yeah,
very fast
teaching lessons and singing great upbeat music. And act two takes a little more serious side, and you know it teaches some other things that are also really fun and, you know, can bring tears at sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a polarized play where in the beginning you get to laugh and have a great time, and then the second act you get to cry and then leave on a great note.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Leaves on a really up note.
Yeah.
So everyone kind of takes this whole emotional journey from, you know, the beginning you walk in and you start meeting these characters and they're kind of strangers to one another, and then there's this coalescing that comes together. People are learning these things and dancing and learning more about who this guy is and what he's about, and so it kind of follows this whole trajectory of kind of what, you know, as the Gospels do.
Right. So what part of the life of Jesus does this musical focus on, and how did you settle into that role to familiarize yourself with what Jesus might have been feeling and what thought process he might have been going through?
I'd say it condenses a 3-year section of Jesus' life where he was, you know, going around telling parables and beginning to, you know, come onto the stage in Israel, and it kind of condenses it almost down into one day where all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is there and, you know, he gets a splash of water from John the Baptist and then it's just right into tons of great stories and good songs, and it almost seems like as the day comes to a close, you jump forward to the end of Jesus's time on earth where he actually does what he came for, you know.
Mm.
His death, resurrection, and all that.
How did you settle into that role?
I'd say that it's a very personal subject for me, and so settling into it was through prayer and just, you know, just getting to know Jesus through the script, getting to know Jesus through, you know, the Bible, and it was pretty natural, honestly.
Mm. And what about both of you? How did you find what perspective to take your role into?
I'd say I play Lamar. Lamar is not the brightest character, so I get to have a lot of fun with that. I enjoy playing comedy where I'm a little bit clueless, and somehow I get typecast in that often. I don't know how that works. I had the opportunity to play Lewis in Pippin, and Lewis is not the brightest. The brightest guy in the world either.
Yeah, but you were also Jean Valjean in Les Mis, okay?
So you do have those hero roles as well. I do get a chance to do some other stuff. But settling into the role of disciple is really something that is just looking at what inspires you about the words, the story, the person, again, I think we've discussed it a little bit, but trying to hear these parables again for the first time, mm-hmm. and understand, putting yourself into a place where, what would it be like to hear this for the first time? It would be shocking. It would be confusing. It would be inspiring. Mm. So that's kind of what I try to bring to the character anyway.
I find the same thing as Wes, too. I've known these parables for a long time, but as I sit there in the role of Robin, I do feel like I'm hearing them new again. And even though, you know, last week we performed every single night through, you know, the dress rehearsals and through our performances, and I still, you know, my character is sort of wide-eyed and taking it all in, and then that makes me wide-eyed. And there are these moments, like when Caleb is sitting up on top of the ladder, or when Wes and I are the Pharisees and he's condemning us, you know, and he's talking about the difference and he's talking about the difference between pure religion and, you know, false religion. And I really take those words in. And you cannot love both God and money, you know, you love one or hate the other. And they're so, these words just have such a ring. It's not, the words have such a ring of truth, and then the other actors and us also, we're trying to sort of embody and enact these truths. And I think that's what makes it really powerful, is that we're not just speaking words, but we are enacting them. And so these parables sort of lift off the page. You know, it's like the words become flesh, and we hear them, I think, so much more loudly, and they penetrate, you know, so much more deeply because of that.
It seems that it could be a religious experience performing this play, and does the music escalate that or emphasize that?
I would say somewhat.
Yes. The answer is yes. The music is so beautiful. And Caleb, you're he can't say this. I'm going to say this for him, but Caleb has such a beautiful voice, and some of the songs that, you know, that Stephen Schwartz have written are just, they're haunting. They're hauntingly beautiful. And so, I mean, that the song A Beautiful City, the minute you start singing that song, you don't know it, but like tears come to my eyes, because the words are so gorgeous and so true and so hopeful, so full of hope. And so, the music is mm-hmm. so powerful, and it really enhances that experience.
Yeah, I guess the music does, it does emphasize the emotion. That particular section of that scene is trying to, you know, bring across. It does emphasize it. So.
Yeah, and in a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to sing one of those songs for us. But I also just wanted to let listeners know that we have some tickets available.
Yeah.
So if anyone is listening and would like to pick up a ticket or two for this performance, you can come in, first come, first serve. So if you arrive at KMXT and you want a ticket, you have a right to two.
Yes.
You can call ahead. Make sure there are still tickets available. You can call 486-3181. And we are located, in case you just want to drop off or drop by without checking in ahead of time, we're at 620 Egan Way. We're right next to the public library.
Yeah, and just to say, we've got two tickets available for all of the nights. So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the matinee on Sunday at 3 o'clock. So there are 8 tickets available.
All right, great. And so before I ask you to sing, do you have a favorite song that you like in particular?
I'd say this one is my favorite. It's by far the least challenging of the songs to sing. There's a lot of vocal acrobatics that happen in the play, so if you love music, you should definitely come. But this one is by far my favorite, just musically.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
It's called Beautiful City.
Mm-hmm. What's it about, before we listen?
Basically, it's talking about how, Jesus, he's building a city, and it's not a... it's not a place of perfect people, and everybody knows that, and, he's just reassuring that, you're broken, you might not have any faith or any, anything to cling on to, but, God is there, and Jesus is there, he's building a city, and he wants you to be a part of that city,
mm-hmm.
And he accepts you that way, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Do you prefer to stand when you're singing, or would you like to sit?
You know what, I'd do it either way, but
you can stand.
You say I should stand, I probably should stand.
You just want to lift the mic. Right there, it's pretty good. You want to lift it a little bit higher, yeah? It's a limited mic, I must admit. Is that okay?
How's that?
Will that work for you?
That works just fine.
Okay. So we'll start the recording in just a second. Are you ready?
Ready when you are.
All right, just bear with us for a second.
Out of the ruins and rubble, out of the smoke, out of the nights of struggle, can we see a ray of hope?
Amen. Thank you so much. That was great. That sounds so modern to me, too. That's from the rewritten Broadway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been, like, revamped, right?
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Now I'm really curious to hear what the original sounds like.
I think that this song was added post-Broadway as an optional song that Stephen Schwartz wrote. He included it if people wanted to sing it, they could. But I think the director had to get separate rights to sing this song because it wasn't part of the it wasn't necessarily part of the script. But Stephen Schwartz he said it's an optional song that you can actually put in into the play.
There's a real fun video on YouTube where Stephen George is sitting at the piano and he says, okay, here's the original version, and he plays it and sings it, and then he says, and here's, you know, the new version, and this version, of course, is, I mean, the original is good, but this is, you know, I think pretty stunning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, that sounds awesome. Is that something you can find on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, what's
the
title?
just Stephen Schwartz, A Beautiful City, and you'll find it.
Wow, that sounds really nice. I'm going to be Googling a lot of things tonight. So this seems like it takes a ton of work, not just to learn, but to get used to and to feel comfortable in. So what has your guys' process been, learning the steps, learning the songs? Like, how long did it take you to learn all of them, and how long did it take you to feel comfortable?
I'd have to say I've done theater in Kodiak for more than 10 years now, and I've never danced this much in a production before.
Well, when you get a choreographer being a director,
that's right.
that. She's done a great job, that's
and
for sure.
And there's no stage left, there's no stage right, there's no off stage. Mm-hmm. There's only on stage.
It's theater in the round, which just everybody is circling the play, which is incredible.
Yeah, it kind of makes it a different theater experience, I think, than Kodiak would typically expect, and I think that is part of why people should come and see us. I think that they'll find a different theater experience and something unique.
When can you remind us when they can see this and where they can see it?
Yeah, it's so Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7:30, and it's down at the Baptist Mission Heritage Center. And most people know that as the new gym. It's that big building there, right across from Mission Beach. And then Sunday is the last performance, a matinee at 3:00, and you can buy tickets at the library. Or you can buy them at the door, but I would suggest buying them at the library just to be sure, because it's limited seating. So we want to be sure that, you know, every seat is taken. We don't want to have to turn anybody away.
And just to remind you again, listeners, that there are free tickets at KMXT right now, so you can pick those up, first come, first serve. I believe there are eight
tickets. Yeah.
Two per person.
Two per night.
Two per night. Okay.
I mean, one person can come, you know, two people are coming, they can take both tickets, that's fine.
All right, yeah, and you can call ahead at 486-3181 if you want to make sure. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. That was a great performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.